Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Stuart Thompson. Welcome to Personal Transformation. I'm broadcasting live from the Gatehouse here at 3101 Lakeshore Boulevard West in Toronto, or Old Etobicoke, as I always say. Tonight, I'm very, very lucky and honored to have two students from York University. I have Lauren and I have Rebecca here. Hi, guys, ladies.
Hi.
Thank you for coming in. And excuse me. On my intro or on the page on Blog Talk Radio, you will see there's a basic outline of what we'll be talking about. And I believe it's about social interaction, if I'm correct in saying so.
Social interaction with the community.
That's great. That's fantastic. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to get a few of these things out of the way here, a few announcements, and then we're going to get right to you. So thank you ever so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
And one other thing, you're welcome. And another thing, too, I should mention as well, Jay, one of our facilitators and also the engineer of our labyrinth is going to come in and give us about 10 or 15 minutes introduction of what's going to be happening here on Saturday, which should be June the 25th, from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. We'll be having our grand opening of the labyrinth. And also, we'll also be having, we call a Warriors Art Exhibit, and where they'll be showing their art as well as their stories in the labyrinth as well. So I'm very excited about that because we have some renowned artists that are going to be here showing their work here on Saturday. So I'm really excited about that. And I will be here myself so I can keep track of what's going on as well. And I have something to talk about next week. But basically, our partners program went off without a problem last week. There would have been 10 of us anyway. And very, very good. It was a follow-up, which I'll talk more about later in depth later on. But I wanted to let you know that went off. And what else am I forgetting here now? Yes, the labyrinth, Jay is coming in, and I just don't want to forget anything here. If I seem a little bit bewildered, don't mind me. But, okay, so it's a beautiful day. It's Thursday, June the 23rd. That's right. And, like I said, I'm broadcasting live from the Gatehouse. I'm not going to be talking about anything too triggering tonight, but nevertheless, if you're in the GTA area and you need some kind of assistance, we have the Gerstein Center at 416-929. 5200 in the center of the city. We have St. Elizabeth at 416-498-0043. And if you are to the east, the Colburn area, they have a distress line there as well at 905-310-2673. And we're going to go a little bit west now and Peel region, and they call 310 COPE at Peel Mobile Crisis Center is what I'm trying to say. To the west, I should say, at 905-278-9036. And we also have RAIN online as well for Canada and the U.S. If you need any help there as well. So tonight we have a pretty full night. We have lots of things to talk about. And I'm really, really excited. I've got Lauren and Rebecca here from York University. And actually, Professor Peter Dawson is also part of the Gatehouse here as well, and also a professor at the university. And I'm so lucky to, one thing I should mention to you as well, I guess it would have been about 3 weeks ago or a month ago, I went to the university and I spoke, and which I kind of talked about on the show here a little bit the last time. And hold on a second. Thank you. I just have some paperwork passed over to me from the office. Thank you. So I went there, I said my story, and there was four other ladies along with me, Maria, Charlene, who am I forgetting here now? Jenny and Trishiga. And we said our stories, and we were lucky. I guess there must have been about 30 or students in your class, approximately?
Yeah, roughly around 30, 40 students.
So we were gracious enough for everyone to listen to me for that amount of time, because I do have a tendency to ramble on, as you all know. But nonetheless, I'm very honored to go there and speak about my story to where I am now. So now it's even a double honor having you ladies in here tonight to talk about what the actual course outline is about. And on the 23rd of July, is that right? I think I said that right. It was 23rd of July. I could be wrong on the date, and I'm sure I'll be corrected on this if I am. But the 23rd of July, which will be a Saturday, and I believe it'll be from noon till 6 or something like that around that time.
Yeah.
Again, I will come back and I'll confirm this at the next time I'm on. And looking forward to that. So maybe you can talk about the course outline you guys are doing, and then we'll jump into the barbecue after that.
Okay, so our course is called Social Interaction and Community, and for our project...
By the way, this is Lauren, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And for our project, we thought that it would be really cool to hold an awareness walk here at the Gatehouse.
Yeah, so pretty much the course is about interacting with your community and giving back as much as you can. So our group decided to collaborate with the Gatehouse and spread awareness around the GTA for child sexual abuse. So as Lauren said, we are planning to have a walk, which will basically be a fundraiser as well. We'll have food, guest speakers that will be speaking about their experiences and how they could, how the community could help out and spread awareness.
There's also going to be some music, food, games, and raffle prizes.
Awesome.
And so we hope to spread awareness by giving presentations as well. We're aiming to target community centers, high schools, and a couple of shelters in Peel region. Actually, one of our classmates, Carrie, does help out with the shelter. She actually works there full time. And she actually mentioned that many people that come in there have had been sexually abused as a child. And she says that mostly, they weren't able to have a healing process, and that is what the Gatehouse offers for children of sexual abuse. They are able to come in and have time to just express themselves and their stories, and we just hope to be here for the community and help them out as much as possible for anybody who has had experiences with this. Another thing we are actually planning on doing is having an arts and crafts drive for the Gatehouse, which we are just going to be collecting crafts for the kids that come in here that are going through some hard times. And it's pretty much
fantastic,
what we decided to do.
And one thing I'm always doing through social media, which we're going to talk about a little bit more later on in depth, but I'm always pushing for toys and stuffed animals and teddy bears. And through my Twitter account and basically through another survivor that I've met online, actually from the West Coast, and we basically started a hashtag Teddy Bear Army. And I'm continuously tweeting about this stuff all the time, and so is he, and a bunch of other people have come on board. So in the process of doing so, that is what's happened. We keep getting more and more teddy bears. I mean, if you've never come to the house before, have you?
This is our first time.
Oh, well, if you look at the stairwell when you came in, you notice all the teddy bears?
Yeah.
Well, there's literally hundreds and hundreds of them here. Big ones, small ones, all sizes and shapes. And even my very first experience coming here 6 years ago when I did the men's group, that was the first thing I got. I got a nice little certificate saying that I completed my 15 weeks, and I got a teddy bear, which my granddaughter's got now, but still never left. I got a teddy bear. So it's not just for children, but also for the adults as well, both men and women, both. And I mean, I may be a grown up and adult, but I still like teddy bears.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Me too. Good cuddle buddy.
Yeah. So that's the barbecue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So in order to spread more awareness around the Greater Toronto Area, we plan to come down here every week leading up until the walk to hand out some pamphlets, some posters, just to give information about really what is going on, because mm-hmm. it happens all over the world, not to just one specific type of person. It could happen to anybody.
Anyway.
And so we just want to make the community aware that this does happen, and we need to stand up for it, and we need to come together as one to try to prevent this kind of stuff, because it's not a good experience, and it is carried along with everybody for their whole life.
Yeah,
it's not something
that
they could forget about. There is a healing process, and they are able to accept it and maybe move on from it, but it's always going to be a part of them, and we just want to let them know that we're here to support them and to just listen to their story and hopefully bring some comfort to them.
Oh, that's fantastic. And sorry, when did you say the walk is again?
I think it's going to be held on July 16th.
On the 16th?
Yeah.
And now, where will you be doing that walk again? You might have said that I was probably off in La La Land. But...
Oh, no, I don't think we mentioned actually.
Yeah.
But it's going to be along the lakeshore. So we plan to start it just on the opposite end of the gatehouse. So it'll lead up into the gatehouse, and that's where our fundraiser will be, and everybody could just enjoy some time.
Yeah, because I would like to partake in that as
well,
right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
We plan to have a color to create some unity within everybody that's going to come out and support the walk. And pretty much, we just want to be there for the community.
That's fantastic. Looking forward to it.
So are we.
Mm-hmm. So anything more on the barbecue, or did we kind of cover that?
Yeah, we pretty much covered it. Will we also be accepting donations?
Yes, and we do have
We do actually have a website on GoFundMe. So whoever's interested and would like to support the cause, they could just go on to our link and donate anything. It helps. Everything is good.
So now will you have this posted just there, but will it also be posted on the York University website as well, or do you have a separate blog or?
Yeah, we actually have some Instagram pages. We're going to create a Facebook event page, so
great.
Everybody can come up and
please pass that down to me as you put this together,
so
I can promote it as well, not just through Blog Talk Radio, but also through my Twitter account as well.
Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, so along with that, all donations that we do get, it's going to go to the gatehouse, hopefully to maybe expand the programs that you guys have within the gatehouse. And
we are growing,
that could help you guys. And hopefully we could come strong and give you some good funds so you could spread more awareness.
We really, really appreciate this. And especially coming from York University, really, really appreciate honor that that's happening. So really looking forward to those events coming up.
Yeah.
So I'm curious though, what brought you to this idea to do this?
Well, the project was actually brought on to us. This is actually really interesting because the course is about social interaction with the community. Now, in university, you don't really get to interact with people in class. It's really, you just go to class, you leave, and that's pretty much it. But actually what Peter does, which is great, which ties in the whole course together, is that he makes you do a collaborative group project with the community. So you are giving back to the community. You feel good about it. You're having fun. And along the way, you get to make cool friends like Lauren and Jad and Carrie and everybody that's in the group. And it actually teaches you how to interact with people. I think nowadays, everything's really technologically based and you can't really socialize. And I think a lot of people are losing their social skills. And
I agree with that too.
So Peter's doing a great job by implementing that and tying all of that into the course. And ultimately for me, from my own experiences, I can just say that I feel honored to be helping you guys and giving back to the community. I've always wanted to do that. And this is a great way to get involved. And I hope to be involved with the Gatehouse after this project, not only with this project. So I think it's great. Peter does a great job. And I'm looking forward to everything that we're planning. And hopefully we could execute it properly and get a lot of people to come out and spread awareness.
This is fantastic. You're a natural.
Oh, thank you. I'm trying. You know, I'm blushing a little, but this is good.
I didn't mean to do that to you.
No, I'm sorry.
I couldn't help myself. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to add a little bit of,
it's the passion,
to give back
to the community.
Yeah, exactly.
Stumble here and there, but...
But there's nothing wrong with a little bit of humor along the way there as well. I mean, this is serious shit, right? So, pardon the way I put that, but it is. And I notice here at the house, any chance we get, we're throwing a little bit of humor here and there. I mean, sad as it is maybe to come in here and do the programs for the people who are going through it, but I know we try to incorporate humor wherever possible.
To be quite honest with you, I was actually, sorry to cut you off, but I was actually a little nervous about that because I was like, what if I get there and I'm just too upbeat for something that's just so, it's a negative thing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's really...
negative, but we have a positive side to this.
Exactly, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think you guys do a great job by providing services like this for...
18 years now, too, as of this week.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, since 1990.
It's another thing to celebrate.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I really appreciate you sharing that with us. Now, I'm curious, though, before you get into the course outline, obviously what you're taking, but how does this topic even come off? Like, does Peter just bring it up and you guys talk about it, or amongst your, even amongst the students? Like, how do you talk about this? I mean, I'm curious.
Well, from the beginning of class, Peter always, there's this one concept that Peter always talks about. his role model actually is Nelson Mandela, and he speaks about the African concept of Ubuntu, which is pretty much just being human through the humanity of others. Through this, we kind of just get the sense that at any point in time in your life, you'll either experience some negative and positive things. As a community, we should be there for all through all of that, because it's not just going to be me going through some hard stuff. Lauren will go through some hard stuff, but knowing that you have that unity and somebody to speak to and just, you know, kind of lean on, is it's great. And so the concept of Ubuntu ties in with this, because we are trying to give back to the community. We are trying to say that we are here. We're not, you're not alone, which is our hashtag for the walk.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. And yeah, so that's how he implements. And I think he does a great job, like I said before, just tying everything in together. And yeah.
That's fantastic. Thank you. So now let's talk about your course online. I'm really curious about this. I mean, I may even sign up next year myself.
You don't need to sign up. You could just join our group. Help us however way you can, whichever way you can. So the course outline, that's a great question.
I'm really curious to see and understand what you guys are learning. I mean, this is so important. So,
well, yeah, we pretty much hit the midway point for the whole entire course. The first part, like I mentioned previously, was all about the concept of Ubuntu. So we grasped that idea, and now we're just going to move on to more theoretical things, I should say. Just basically how to, you know, interact and things. yeah. I haven't really read the course outline.
That's all good. That's all good. So when you talk about interaction, so what level are you talking about interaction? Like just so we have a general feel of what you're talking about now. You're talking about like just general, like having a conversation like we are here right now, or just having a conversation or just being able to carry on a conversation at whatever level. Like I'm just trying to get a feel for what when you talk about social interaction.
Right.
So how far can you bring that?
Well, in every aspect, really. Like I mentioned before, university is just one of those places where you just go in.
Yeah.
You don't really know people. You're honestly just a lone wolf, and you try to survive it as best as you can. And like I said, this was actually the first class that I've actually made some good friends, and I think these friendships are going to carry on beyond the class. More so than that, with all the technology nowadays, you don't really see people talking, you know? Like, if you're going to be making plans with someone, you just shoot them a text and be like, okay, yeah, I'm going to be late or whatever the case, but there's no over-the-phone conversations. There's no really...
there's no true connection.
Or face-to-face conversations. There's a lot of people that, like, even, like, going into the supermarket and speaking to someone, some people just can't really do that. Like, they've just lost touch with that or whatever the case, and... I could personally say that my interaction skills have increased since starting this program. I'm usually a really shy, quiet person. I don't really speak to people. I kind of keep to myself. But through this course, Peter's actually given me a voice, pretty much, able to communicate and even do something like this. I would never really thought I would do something like this. As I said before, I was nervous to come on here. And yeah, I feel like that's a good way to like interact and bring that
up. You're doing a fantastic job. I really appreciate it. Thank you. So I'm really curious, though, to find out more about your course outline. Like, I mean, in regards to, obviously you talk about childhood sexual abuse. You talk about domestic violence. Do you cover all those sort of things? Or?
Yeah, actually, like I said before, with this collaborative group project, we were able to decide which group we wanted to help. There's another group in our class actually doing the food bank.
Yes, I remember that night I was there, they were going to do that.
Yep, and so they're helping
pretty much food cans and stuff for the food bank near our school.
So is it kind of the same idea again about socially interacting with people?
Yes,
and same concept? Absolutely.
Yes, same concept. It's pretty much just collaborating and giving back to the community. pretty cool too. The week before you guys actually came to speak to us, the Gatehouse was there, and the food bank, I forgot what it's called, the Harvest, North York Harvest Food Bank.
Yeah.
And they were there giving us a little presentation about how many people are actually going hungry and how many people actually don't have food or just like the residual income after they've been paying everything, have like nothing left. And it's just a way to, you know, just connect with your community and just have, just give back and just have that, I guess, emotional connection as well.
So I'm curious though. I know I kind of asked you kind of what you guys talk about. Now, what is your feeling you get when this topic comes up? Like, how does that feel to you when you talk about this? Does it make you upset? Does it make you concerned?
Actually, you guys hit home for me when you guys came to speak to us. I was kind of up in the air about which group I wanted to join.
Yeah.
And after you guys spoke to us, I guess what I felt was emptiness.
Mm-hmm.
How can people go and, like, I don't know, do this to somebody and just, those experiences are, like I said before, nothing you're going to ever forget. It's not going to be something that you could just forget about and just, like, sleep soundly at night. So pretty much, yeah, from your guys' presentation, I felt empty. My heart hurt for you guys. I was sad to know that this happens so much more than I could have ever thought.
More than most people know.
Yeah.
Like 1 in 3 ladies and 1 in 6
five.
Men.
Yeah.
Well, 1 in 5. I mean, there's a lot of debate. In the U.S., they say 1 in 6. And in Canada, like 1 in 5. And even in Britain, they say it was 1 in 4.
Wow.
Or 1 in 5, but I honestly believe the numbers are a lot higher than that, only because a lot of men don't come forward.
But that's what I was going to say too. Pretty much the stats, we actually had to write an essay and do a little bit of research on our collaborative group project.
Could you share some of the research with us? Can you? Some of it? A little bit?
A little bit, sure.
Okay.
So, as I mentioned before, with the shelters, people usually take this the hard way. They don't really know how to come forward or even speak about it. And, that's why the statistics of it, there's not a solid amount that people could say, oh, there's a 50% chance that people get sexually abused.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people don't come forward. So all the things that are reported, very low amounts. And I think that's why there's not that much awareness about it. Or that's why a lot of people don't really think twice about it. So what we found too, or what I found doing my research, was that it could lead you to a destructive path in your life.
Mm.
You could find yourself in different places if you don't heal properly, and some people don't know how to cope with that. So I think pretty much the Gatehouse does a great job to just support and reach out to those people and give them a little bit of comfort when it comes to touchy subjects like this.
No, absolutely. And just to elaborate a little bit more on what you're talking about, there's a lot of misbelief in regards to when people are sexually abused, whether it be a man or a woman, whether they become gay or whether they're going to reoffend. Like, just because you've been sexually abused as a child doesn't mean you're going to be gay, and it doesn't mean you're going to be an offender yourself. And if you do come back being an offender, it is less than 1% of the population. So it's a very, very small number, although that's still a high number in my personal view anyway, because no one should be doing this anyway.
Yeah.
But until things change in society, this is what I love about what you guys are doing. You're learning about this stuff now. I don't think 10 years ago they were talking about this university. And if they were at a university level, it was usually somebody going through their PhD or something, as an example, getting their doctorate. So it could either be a therapist or a psychologist, psychiatrist, or whatever direction they might be going from, or to, rather, I should say. And it's great that this is finally coming up. I don't know if York's the only place that's doing this out of all the other universities in North America or even in the world, but if this is the case, then you guys are the first. So this is fantastic.
Yeah, like I said before, there's not very many courses at York that let you be a part of something like this, of movement this great. And Yeah, I think it's great. I'm not too sure about any other universities and how they go about doing courses like this, but Peter does a great job, and I think it's good. It's a good way to give back. And
well, you know, and this is what I love about what you guys are doing, and especially Peter, and bringing us that you can learn about this at a university level. As far as I'm concerned, at any level, whether it be university or college, high school, even public school, this stuff needs to be talked about at whatever levels or whatever socially acceptable levels are possible, right? Just to get the word out and bring awareness that this is really unacceptable in society. Granted, there's still some that don't think that, but nevertheless, majority don't think it's a good thing. And social change needs to start. And if it means starting at a university or at a college or whatever education level from down here, well, it's not really down here, but you know what I'm trying to say, but at an early age, then this is where to start. Because one of the one of our facilitators that's here at the Gatehouse, Charmaine Lovren, and she is trying to get it in the schools right now, the public schools.
She did the petition.
That's right. She did the petition. Exactly. You exactly know what I'm talking about. And she's trying to get it in the schools. And we have to start someplace. It's grassroots. And when you look at it, and the sooner we get it into the systems, rather we get it into the schools, and so our kids are aware of this, then I think society will be better off in the long haul. I think you want to share something with us, don't you?
Yeah, we were actually planning on going into a couple elementary schools, high schools, and talking about this and kind of like educating the younger kids on internet safety because, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of privacy concerns on the internet. Like I said before, technology has just expanded throughout the world and children don't really know how to put privacy settings on there. You could... actually, from one of our presentations, I think the group that did the Gatehouse collaboration last term said that 12-year-old girls are posting pictures on Instagram with
their location.
With their location.
Oh,
setting.
My gosh.
Like, yeah, so they just snap a picture with them, like, eating popcorn, saying, oh, like, I'm home alone. So it just kind of opens the doors for, like, predators to just...
Absolutely.
Like jump on the opportunity, right? So we just want to spread awareness on how to keep the privacy concerns. It's good to have these social media outlets, but at the same time, you have to be safe and aware of what could really happen.
So what are the things are you discovering along the way in regards to as far as safety is concerned with social media? Either one of you.
Go ahead, Lauren.
Sorry, what was the question?
The question being is what other safety concerns have you noticed through social media that seems to be put by the wayside?
We feel that like people are just very open on social media and they don't realize that everything they're sharing is like actually dangerous for them. So we want to bring awareness to that.
And it's a greater level.
Yeah.
And by going to the schools, and that's a great place to start.
Yeah, for not just like younger kids, older kids,
yeah.
Everybody really.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So you're already halfway through the course now. Is that what you're saying? You're halfway through the year, or is that? So what if you have left? What will you be covering in the future? You know?
Not.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I did a question.
Right now, we're kind of learning about theories from people like Max Weber, Karl Marx, Goffman, and how they view society in terms of ideology and classes.
Interesting.
So through this, we're trying to see how we've all lost a sense of community. And I feel like this project has really like brought us back that sense of community, and like we feel like we're really being a part of the community.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So I guess no summer break for you guys then, right?
No summer break for us, but it's a great way to spend our summer. School could be boring at some times, but this is actually a really fun course, And
it just doesn't feel like school.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Just, you know, just being a part of something and just being able to experience this is great.
Yeah, so I remember when I went to university, it wasn't like the regular school, not at all.
Yeah, no.
That's where I learned how to drink beer.
Yeah, we'll still have make time for that.
Yeah, that's good. You gotta have some me time too, right?
Absolutely.
You know, all the stuff in the books, because sometimes it gets a little bit too foggy, you know, but nevertheless. But yeah, well, that's fantastic. I am really, really, really charged by the whole fact that Peter is doing this. And I really firmly believe that if it takes off like it's taking off, there'll be many more like it.
Yeah, absolutely. This is by far going to be one experience I'm never going to forget. And like I said before, I really want to continue with collaborating with the Gatehouse after the project, not solely just for the project.
So what do you think you're going to do when you graduate, or is that too far ahead?
When I graduate, that's actually something I've been thinking about. I'm currently in a business program right now, trying to major in marketing, and I've actually been having a hard time thinking about what I was going to do and after university, what my path would be. But through this class, I've noticed that I want to do events like this and continue giving back to the community, and hopefully through my major and marketing, I could help you guys to spread awareness and.
Well, one of the biggest things is where marketing comes really handy. We're always looking for money, you know, and basically the Gatehouse is run by basically grants and private donations, and we don't rely on government or corporations. I mean, granted, we will take donations from like big corporations and stuff like that, but we primarily just rely on that in order to function. And in the last, well, I know in the last 6 years that I've been here, the programs here have expanded immensely, and we've also incorporated other programs, such as we have a partners program as well. We have an art therapy program, plus we also do art therapy as well. So we have a lot of things going on here at the house. And unfortunately, it all costs a bit of money to run these programs, not to get the people to come in and do it, because everything is volunteer-based here. I mean, we do have a small staff, but everything is basically volunteer-based for all the groups. And thank heavens for that, because we have over 100 volunteers here right now.
Wow.
We have over 100 here right now. And like, for example, now tonight, we have we have three groups going tonight, and this is a quad group or phase two groups. And that's the second part of the program after you've done it, either men's or women's. Then we join both sides so they can collaborate. And I know that it helped me immensely when I came here, hearing stories from not just from men, but from women as well. And it's also very valuable, their insight as well, depending on what, you know, depending on how terrible your trauma was, right? And getting a basic understanding to just getting different insights, which is very important in regards to your recovery. But back to what I'm talking about as far as the programs are concerned here at the house, we've grown so much in the last few years. It's incredible. We have two programs that are going to be finishing tonight, and then we have another one still here. And well, right away, next week, we'll have another two start right away. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's next week. So basically, for every day of the week, except for Fridays, we have 3 to 4 groups coming out of the house. So at the end of the year, not including one-on-ones and all the other things we do, so we probably have upwards of 250 people go through the house in 1 year.
That's amazing.
Men and women both. And it keeps growing and growing. So there's a huge demand. As the public becomes more aware of this problem, and this is what I love about what you guys are doing at school, and your university rather, it's another base of conversation about this problem in society. And you're bringing it to a whole new level, which I never thought possible. It's no different than what I'm doing here by doing broadcasting, what I'm doing here as well. It's the same thing. I'm talking about stuff that nobody will talk about. And I'm not really concerned about what anybody thinks about whether I like it or whether they like it or they don't like it. But all I know is what happened to me granted, it was horrible, but look at me now. I'm here, I'm doing this, and I'm fighting for, fighting for what I believe, and I think it's wrong. It's not a question of thinking, it is wrong. It's just plain wrong all around. But by bringing this and making people aware of this and hopefully pissing some people off along the way, that they'll say they don't want to hear about this anymore, so they'll hopefully change the laws I wish it was that simple, but it's not. But nevertheless, it's the idea of getting the word out. And this is what I love about social media and about what you guys are doing. And now, you guys use a platform. Like, do you have a, like a, like a, is there like a platform you use at York University where you connect with all the other students and you pass information back and forth?
Like the York U website?
That's
yeah.
what I'm trying to say.
Okay, we have Moodles, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, like, for example, now, if you guys are doing a doing a project or something like that and you need information, you could just go on there and you can get it, right? Is that the way it works?
Yeah. Well, not every class.
Not every
but
class?
Most classes,
most classes,
yes.
Yeah.
Not Peter's class.
Not Peter's
but...
class, yeah.
Yeah, no, usually there's this site that we use called Moodle, and everybody in your class is in there, like, registered to the classes. Easily accessible through there, so you could just post like forums and just start a huge discussion like on there, and that reaches about, depending on the class size, between 50 to like more like over than more than 100 people, depending on what class you're going on. And just to add on to your word of mouth, through this project, there are like around, how many people are in our group? Like 17 people?
Yeah, 17 to 20 people are in our group right now.
Yeah, and I know for a fact that I can speak for myself. Everywhere I go, I speak about this. I didn't before. I, to be quite honest with you, I wasn't aware of how much it happened or how frequently it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, just even talking amongst my friend, I spread the word to about like 15, 20 people. And that's a lot more than... I think they even knew, right? They didn't know much about it either. And just by speaking about it and just getting involved in this sort of project, it's great to just give out the word like you're saying. And York is a big population. So,
huge population.
By posting up our flyers and giving out pamphlets and just speaking about the facts. We're not making anything up here. We're just simply just giving them facts. And by that, we're just spreading that much awareness. And how many students are at York roughly? Like
something around 55,000.
Yeah, I was going to say it must be 55 or greater for sure. I mean, like when the fall comes, will it be more? Like, I thought there'd be like 60 to 70 or even 80,000, I thought.
Yeah, every year we get more and more kids.
So just by spreading awareness through York, we're reaching a big population as well.
Huge campus
yeah.
is all I have to say. If anybody's unfamiliar with the York University campus, just go on, Google it online and you'll find it, and you get all the info there. So I'm curious though. Now, it's so easy, like when you say you talk with your friends. So how does that make you feel inside when you talk about that? Is it kind of emotional for you or you're not sure, you're still kind of processing it?
Are
you feeling uneasy?
I don't think uneasy is what I feel. Like I said before, it's just a sense of sadness. Like my heart breaks when I speak about it. I don't want anybody to ever experience that. And unfortunately I can't prevent it from happening, but through this, I hope to at least to save one person from going through this experience. It would mean something to me that I know that I could help somebody. So when I speak to my friends about it and just try to raise awareness for it, it is a touchy subject. Most of them kind of don't really know about it. They get sad as well too. It's a hard subject to talk about.
In class, it's a different story. Any thoughts on that, Lauren?
What?
In class, no. Well, because we're all part of the group, right? We're trying to do our best to support and think of creative ways on how we could do that. So it's not so much like, I don't know how to explain it. It's kind of like an uplifting feeling to just be able to be a part of something like this. The subject is touchy and it's hard for us to... I guess understand it because we haven't really gone through that experience, but through this group project we are learning emotionally and we're able to tie in our emotions with this, and like I said before, it's going to be something that's going to stick with us forever. And
I was just kind of curious, like with both of you, like how it is emotionally for you, like, I mean, talking about this.
Well, it's definitely hard, but we're passionate about it. We want to just, like, spread awareness and help people. Mainly, yeah, that's what we want to do.
Thank you. So, I guess, any last words or thoughts?
Well, hopefully.
Or anything you want to add? Any plugs or?
No. We just want to hope we get a whole bunch of Toronto to come out and support the cause and help the Gatehouse implement more programs. And yeah, thank you so much for having us.
And you guys can follow our Instagram page at YorkUESA.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I really appreciate you ladies coming in here, Laura and Rebecca.
Thank you for having us.
And and maybe come fall, we can do this one more time again in regards to what has happened throughout the course of the summer for what you guys have organized.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just to like a recap of what happened. I mean, I'll talk a little bit about it, and we'll probably post it on our Gatehouse Facebook and webpage as well. But it'd be nice hearing you talk about it versus just seeing it online, right? So that'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
So any last thoughts?
Not really.
No? Well, I really appreciate you coming in here.
Well, no, thank you for having us. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. So I don't know if you want to stick around a little bit, but I'm going to talk about a few things. I'm waiting for Jay to come in, which we're going to be talking about the Labyrinth and the Warriors art exhibit, which is going to be happening on Saturday. And I'm so looking forward to that. Actually, I'm going to be helping out with that a little bit too, with Lauren, not with Lauren, but sorry, with Lacey and somebody else. So it's kind of very exciting, and I know we have pictures posted on our Gatehouse website showing what the Labyrinth is going to look like, and if you're familiar with the so-called alien crop circles, it's very similar like that.
Cool.
If you Google Labyrinth, it'll look just like the crop circles that you see over in the UK all the time, and in the US in the wheat fields, just like that. And they're very, very precise. And so is this one, too. And Jay is coming in here to talk about it. He's one of the engineers, along with Jenny Monroe. If you Google Jenny Monroe, you'll see that she is an artist in the city, and she's been around for quite a while. And she's done quite a few pieces of artwork over the years. But if you Google that, you will find her there as well. So we have a very full weekend here in front of us. Lots of things going on. And now I want to touch base a little bit on the partners group. I hope you don't mind sitting here while I'm talking away here like this.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm going to talk a little bit about our partners group, which we had last weekend. And we had a good turnout to that. And we had probably, well, basically it's about a follow-up. And what the follow-up was about, we talked about courage, and we talked about trust, and whatever else sort of fell into play with that, boundaries, I guess would be the thing that we also talked about as well. Now, all these things in a relationship, it doesn't have to be intimate either. It could be in a regular, just in a friendship, but either way, as I stated, are very, very important in regards to, having some kind of trust towards one another. And obviously in an intimate relationship, it's obviously a lot more important because obviously you're together for all these years or are going to be together for all these years, but that's just in a friendship as well, because there's a certain level of trust is involved or part of in your relationship. But all these things were kind of what we talked about, and we even branched off into sexuality to a certain degree. And when I talked about boundaries was a really, really huge thing. Not having any boundaries and trying to establish your boundaries and trying to be authentic or trying to be truthful and trying to trust, all those things are, from a survivor point of view, are very, very hard to do. And even from a non-survivor point of view, trying to understand the other side, what the other person is thinking and feeling, and understanding why the things they do. So these things were kind of very important, what we were talking about on the weekend. Obviously, I can't talk about everything, nor can I talk about the people that were there due to privacy issues. But the topics were very, very, put it this way, they were very, very deep. And we spent a whole day, and I know that we're going to come back again. And we've passed out we sent out an email asking for any follow up and any information which they might want to talk about further on in the future. So there will be more to talk about in regards to this. So it wasn't your typical partners program which we've had in the past. And this is what I love about what we've done. And also now come September as well, we'll be providing another new program, and it will be a partners support program for the non-survivor, which I don't know if anybody in the country is doing this. Never mind just the partners program as far as that's concerned. So there'll be lots of, I know that lots of support is needed in regards to this. And I know through all the partners groups that I've done in the last year and a bit, this has come up quite a few times. Well, what about after we've done this partners thing? And what about support when I need it? Where can I call into the gatehouse, for example, and ask for some information or I don't understand something about what my partner is doing or my friend is doing, their behavior? Well, that's where the gatehouse is going to come in hand and hopefully help you in that a little bit. I mean, first off, I should point out to you, the gatehouse, if you're unfamiliar with the gatehouse does and what we do here, everything is all done at a peer level. And we have no therapists on staff or psychologists or anything of the sort. So everything is done at a peer level. We never tell you what you should or shouldn't do. Oh, hello. Am I going to get a selfie here? Well, not really a selfie, but a
smile.
Hello there. There you go. Bang, bang. Okay. I just got myself in a picture here. I love it. But see, this is another thing about coming out with what I have and dealing with my childhood sexual abuse. You see, I'm very, well, one thing I have become is quite, I'm not very camera shy, and I'm not very shy about talking in front of a mic, and I'm not very shy about doing a lot of things. But, you know, we were talking about connection with the ladies here a little bit, and it's funny because in the partners group, connection is another thing we talked about as well. And connection is so important to a lot of us survivors. They're trying to get on with their lives after we've dealt with this to any certain degree, are trying to make some kind of connection. A lot of us have pretty much, as far as connections are concerned, we pretty much severed ourselves from that. We put up a wall, and we'll only allow ourselves to go so far, and then we cut everybody off at whatever means that we do it. And sometimes it's not very nice. We just basically put up a wall and shut everybody out, and that's it. And the other person does not understand why, which is totally unfair, but that's what we do. And a lot of it is related to what we call post-traumatic stress or CPTSD or PTSD. And these are just some of the side effects that, you know, that's how we act. This is how we act. And you know, logically, as an adult, even now, what I've learned, well, yes, I know that's irresponsible and it's uncaring, and most people would not get that. But if you get triggered by something and you get pulled back into that moment, whether it be through a flashback or a nightmare or whatever, and brings you back to that time that when you're abused, that's why we do and say those certain things. Sorry, what's that? You need to go?
We just want to walk around the gate.
Oh, yes, by all means. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. Sir Rebecca and Lauren, have a great time. Okay, we'll see you. We'll see you again soon. Bye now. Thank you. Thank you, ladies. Have a great night. Okay, so I'm back here, and I'm talking about connection, or connections, and all these things really come into play in regards to the partners group, and even what we're doing. In fact, here comes Jay right here right now. You want to shut the door, Jay, please? Oh, wow. Carolyn here, too.
Fantastic. Well, say hello.
Hello.
This is Jay, and I have Carolyn here as well. So actually, maybe come a little bit closer so we can share this.
Okay.
This works really, really well. I'll just do a little sound check.
All right.
Yeah, you can go ahead and talk. Don't be shy. You don't want to talk?
Say hello.
Hi.
Oh, okay. Fine.
Hi. Nice to see you.
Really appreciate you coming in. It's talking about perfect timing because I had the students, your students come in here.
Yeah.
And they were talking about what they're doing. And remember we were talking about you went to New York and you spoke as well, right?
Yeah.
And I went there a couple of weeks ago and I did the exact same thing.
Yeah.
It's funny, I'm just talking about the partners group. Perfect timing. And obviously, I'm not going to, and I'd love your input too, if you wouldn't mind as well. Now, obviously, I don't talk about names or anything like that, or all I'm talking about is about the topics we talked about, and at whatever level that may be. And obviously, I can't give all the details, but because I have to keep privacy in consideration here. But I was talking about connection right now. And by not having connection, I was also talking about post-traumatic stress, and I was also talking about how we triggered and how sometimes we'll have a perfectly good friend or a perfectly good relationship, and something will happen, and all of a sudden we put up some wall, and we shut ourselves down.
Yeah, I have done that a great many times.
And so have I, and I'm really glad you're here to back me up on that, because I've done the same thing, and other survivors will really, really understand out there. And it doesn't really, you don't have to be a survivor. Let me be very clear about this too as well. You don't have to be a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. You're a survivor of any type of trauma, whether you be in the military or you're a frontline worker, police officer, fire department, ambulance. You know, trauma comes in all different forms, sizes and shapes, and affects us all differently.
Yeah.
But I was just making reference to how what I've done and how I dealt with it in the past. And it all sort of falls back to when we talk about connection.
Yep.
You know, I love making connections with people, but the trouble is, I mean, when I look at myself before I came here and where I am now, and even now I have to watch myself, that when I do make a connection with somebody, I have to be very mindful of myself not to, if I do get triggered, that I don't go front and the other way. And that's what I would do in the past. And I still have trust issues, which I'm very, very clear about, both with men and with women. So what I have a tendency to do, and I'm not shy about saying this, and I talk about this all the time, is what I'll do is I'll go so far, and then I'll stop right there. I'll let you in so far, and then, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not a total dick about it or an ass about it, but I'll only go so far, and that's where I stop as far as my friendship is concerned.
Yep.
And I'm trying not to do that. It's very, very hard. And
Do you find that changes over time?
Well, actually, that has. It has changed, and I've allowed myself to do a lot of different things that allow me, but I still have a certain part of me that I'll put up a wall, and yes, you know me here at the baseball game, and you know me at bowling or soccer and that, but after that, I only go so far. But that has gotten better, to your question.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying all the time.
Well, I was thinking, for example, with Jay, if you set up that boundary ahead of time, now that you know him better, has that expanded? Did you move the boundary?
Yeah, do you want to hear something really funny? I'm really glad you asked that question, because you know what I find, is that I don't really have that problem with other survivors.
Mm, yeah.
You know why?
Yeah.
It's because, I don't know, well, I think I know why. It's probably because we have a pretty much a mutual understanding of our shit that we went through. I don't think, so if I explain something that happened to me, I don't have to explain myself. And if I do, it's not like I would have to, and don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to be biased towards the non-survivor, for example. That's not what I'm talking about. It's just the actual understanding that what you went through, then some of your understanding. I guess that's part of the connection, if I can say it that way.
I even find when we're facilitating the partners group that I have a much easier time sharing when it's the partners, like the survivors, rather than the partners.
Partners.
And I do find that around survivors, I have a much easier time putting out there what happened, how it happened, and even just the freedom to say today sucks.
Yeah.
You know, today I'm in a bad spot, or today I'm dealing with this, or today I was triggered all to hell. And I'm not going to say that, at least not yet, around people who aren't.
Yeah. Yeah. But in some ways it's kind of biased on me to even think that, because the thing right off the hop that people don't have empathy or don't understand, and not all people are like that.
Yeah.
And that's just my own false beliefs or my own intrusive thoughts that allow me to think that.
Yeah. And it's funny that there's a lot of things in this conversation that are kind of colliding. And one is you asked me to come and talk about the labyrinth.
Yeah.
So some of my own struggles in the last week and a half is my in-laws have asked if they can come to the labyrinth opening. And now there's two worlds.
Mm-hmm. Colliding.
And there's that PTSD triggered part of my brain that is going, I don't want them involved in my world at the gatehouse, because my world at the gatehouse is
separate, right?
It's separate, but it's also more intimate.
Yeah.
It's more honest. There's more connection. And at the same time, the logical part of my brain is, why wouldn't I bring them into that
exactly,
world?
Exactly. Why wouldn't you?
But the triggered PTSD part is going, no way. This is my safe place.
Yeah.
I don't want you in it.
Yeah.
So it is there is that connection point where you're talking about is it's much easier to connect with a survivor and someone who's gone down that same path than to bring somebody into that world.
But, you know, I'm really getting tired of saying that. You know why?
Know.
Because I don't want to seem, impartial to one side or the other side, and especially where I'm coming from now. So I really fear, I mean, I got to give somebody a chance, right?
Yeah.
I can't give someone the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be fair, right? And I don't want to think that I don't want the pity thing. It's not about any of that. It's just basically understanding where you're coming from. And it's just no different than like what you said about like with your in-laws. It's no different. Like when I leave the house, when I go and do all these other things that I do, there's nobody really knows what I'm doing here.
Yep.
Unless you go on social media, and then they're going to see, which some have already found and people have approached me about.
Yeah.
But I won't go and put it in their face. That's just saying. I mean, I want to. I want to shout and scream and yell while I can right here and make my point and be valid about it. But I can't go out and just do it amongst people even I think I know.
Yeah.
So on a little step,
yes, little step.
With what the partners group was and being a partner, sometimes that comes up a lot where you know, Jay will say to me, you just don't understand. Well, we've been together for 25 years.
I say you understand.
I understand a heck of a lot.
It's true. It's true.
But that's exactly true. And as soon as we remind each other of that, we're in a totally different spot for working on whatever the problem is at the time. Because then we have to be on the same team.
But the first place the damaged trauma brain goes is you don't get it. Because for so long, nobody did.
Yeah.
So that's the first automatic response, even though I know it's not true.
Yeah, exactly. It's just
the wall.
Intrusive thoughts. It's the wall.
The wall. Yeah. The intrusive thoughts. The whole, you know, Jeffrey Schwartz.
Yeah.
You know,
you're not your brain, your neuroplasticity, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So that comes into play where you're having to stop and go, wait a minute. That's an intrusive thought. It's not right. You know, you do all of the steps of mindfulness to pull that back from it, but you do have to stop and go, wait a minute. You know, I've been with Carolyn for more than half my life. So, you know, heading for two-thirds of my in fact
yeah,
it is
like
two-thirds
enough already
of my life. All right. So saying you don't understand doesn't fly.
Doesn't wash,
no, but it feels like it.
Yeah.
And so when you make a choice about where you're gonna build up that wall.
Yeah.
Right? And you say, this is what I'm going to do, and it's a protective kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's because you're not gonna go up to people and say, well, hey, this is my history, I'm
that's
a survivor.
Right. Yeah.
And nobody else does that either,
no.
generally,
yeah.
right? Or healthy people.
Well, they have horrible, horrible boundaries, which we've seen already.
true.
Yeah.
Some people have horrible boundaries.
Yeah.
Survivors are not. And that's the thing. There's an awful lot of really nice people out there who are dragging around their own piles of crap, trying to make sense out of life. And they're not looking to be jerks either. So when you say, you don't understand, well, they may understand an awful lot about feeling different, feeling separate, feeling worried or anxiety or maybe trauma even, who knows? And we shouldn't just throw our boundaries out the window, but figuring out why you have thrown up that wall just because they're not somebody you know as a survivor is not necessarily a good thing.
Oh, absolutely.
But I even found that the company I used to work for, the more I healed and the better I got, the more I worked on my issues, and especially through the gatehouse, the more I realized that I couldn't work there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, I was getting boundaries and healthy ones. And I realized that these people didn't get it. It wasn't a good place to be. And the healthier I got, the more I realized this place has been triggering me for a lot. And a lot of what I was dealing with was completely clashing with where I worked, to the point where when I finally had to tell them what I was going through, the one owner of the company asked specifically what was done to me. And I thought, how can you ask somebody that? So it really is, you have to be very careful about who you tell and the kind of response you're going to get. So when he was doing that, it was very triggering. And I ended up having to leave the company.
So you probably felt like he was going to be judgmental. That's what I would
have
thought.
Extremely. And that's what he was like. And he was asking questions that were too personal, so it was like too involved. And it was something where you had to stop and say, you know what, this isn't healthy for me. So it was an experience where telling someone was a really bad thing to happen. But at the same time, it got me to the point where I realized, you know what, with my brain the way it is, with what's going on, I need to go and work for myself. You know, I just,
or somewhere
yeah. else and just get out of there. So it did help me move forward. But yeah, you have to be careful who you tell, but at the same time, you can't live in a bubble.
No.
So there is that balance, and finding it is really tough.
But
really
I don't
tough.
Walk around and tell everybody
no,
what's
no.
going on
no.
in every facet of my life or
no.
expect
no.
them to understand in order to have a friendly relationship with them.
Or that connection.
And
yeah.
Or the connection, right? And so learning how connection feels, even without sharing all the bits and pieces and the ups and downs of everything, gives me lots of friends, and I don't have to worry about being their best friend all the time.
Mm.
And that's okay.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that, but I mean, it's I have a hard time with that, because my problem, like my problem has always been, okay, well, I don't trust people, right? So my connection only goes so far.
Yeah.
And I know that's I know that's all false thoughts on my part, but I had to learn that.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm trying to get around that, and it's not been easy.
No.
When I've spent most of my lifetime basically putting up a wall. Just because somebody says, well, you don't have to do that. You know, you realize it's all, you know, different. The thoughts you're thinking are not true. And, well, yeah, they're not true, but why have I thought this all my life? Okay. And just because you're telling me now I got to change. Okay. Well, it's just not that simple.
No, no, it's really not.
And
no.
But I know logically it's wrong.
Yeah.
And that's my basis of saying, okay, you know what, Stu, change your thought process. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
And
but I don't think that I think you should change because, you know, it's no big deal. What I think I'm saying is that the trust isn't based on complete openness
mm-hmm.
and sharing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not based on totally understanding everything each other's going through. It's based on looking at the other person, recognizing they're a good person,
mm-hmm.
and trusting that you don't have to go into every bit and piece in order for them to be okay people and a good friend.
I'm glad you said that, because it comes down to something that just even as basic as that. And I mean, even for myself, that's what I would do. I would only go so far, like I say, even on the basic stuff like that. And I would say, okay, you know my name, and either we work together or we're playing the sport together. And when we're done, that's that.
Compartmentalize everybody.
That's basically
that's
it.
What I do.
Yeah. And
these friends here, these friends somewhat friends,
yeah.
right, are over here, and you do segment and compartmentalize.
Yeah. And actually, if I'm going to be real hard, I don't talk to anybody. And
yeah.
that's what I do. That's what I've done in the past, right?
Yeah.
And I don't like doing that. I don't want to do that anymore. I really do want to change, and thank heavens for the house for me for that, and I have support around here to do that, and I am slowly changing, but I have to keep kicking the can, as they say.
Yeah, and I find towards the end of the week when I'm tired, I'm wiped out, you know, it's been a long week or a long month or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I know even when I'm in my office on Fridays and the phone rings, and it's just like, I can't handle it. I can't handle that intrusion into that
mm-hmm.
world. And it's the isolation, the shutdown, and the just go away for a while. Like
mm-hmm.
I just, and then you do stop and realize, oh, I'm really pulling back, you know, or Carolyn will call and say, you know, so-and-so wants to go out. And your first thought is no way. Like I'm not going down that. And it is that habit of the isolating and the pulling back and the putting the walls up and just pushing the world away.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens a lot, and it's hard to fight.
Oh yeah. I know I have a really hard time with that. You know, I mean, I love being with people, but sometimes I just like, okay, you know, no disrespect. I just want to go in my little corner.
Yeah.
And so put on my little wall and
yeah.
I'll see you later, you know, talk to me.
Yeah.
You know, a little while, but I'll be fine. But I know I have learned though too, being alone, wanting to be alone sometimes is good too.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what you do with your time. But you know, and the worst part about it is I've learned all this stuff and I don't want to analyze the shit out of it. I just want to get along, right? I just want to get along. I don't want to have to try to rationalize anything. I just know this is what I feel and this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And just keep it simple. The more I talk about it, sometimes I think it's more complicated than it really is. But it's not really complicated. Well, I mean, it is in our own complex minds, obviously, but the outcome is pretty simple.
Yeah.
You know, and it's unfortunate that we don't always think that way.
and then we think other thoughts, and then we end up going in a little closet and see you later.
But I would say that being involved in the world here at the Gatehouse with all the survivors has helped me to start to see that I don't have to live completely the way I used to. Before I came and got help here, I had shut everybody out. You know, friends that I know were both of our Carolyn's and mine. In my head, it was, they're her friends. They're not mine.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where it was just, you know, you want to go out with them, that's fine. I'm just going to hide in my little corner of the world, like you said. But the wall was always there, and I was always in the corner, and I didn't want anything to do with anybody. But I did find that coming here and starting the groups and doing the things and meeting people has got me to socialize more and to have a community again where I really had pushed all of that away.
Mm-hmm.
And it is making a difference. And through that community with survivors, it's helping me to see that I can have a community outside of that as well, and to start letting some people somewhat in and still compartmentalized.
Oh yeah.
But in, you know, in a little further than would have been before, for sure.
It's amazing how much we've come, how far we've gone since we've been here, right?
It's true.
It's miles and miles and miles.
Miles and miles and miles. Yeah. Oh, that's that's a great song.
yeah, but it's true.
But I guess that's probably keeps me coming back here. The more I want to push and push and push and push and just to keep going and going and going, because I really don't want to be stuck where I was, where I need a shovel and a bucket of aqua grease.
That's true. That's very true.
Hey, Steve, sit on that there. Get your ass up. Yeah. Good, because you're stuck.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's true. Even when we pulled up tonight, before I would have come in here, you know, said what I had to say and run out the door. But Lloyd's sitting out in the park.
Oh, Lloyd, I love Lloyd. He's best.
And
so, Lloyd's been on here too, by the way, on the radio show as well. Yeah.
So tonight I pulled up in front, and there's Lloyd sitting on a picnic table in the park. And my first thought is I could feel, actually, feeling, which is rare for me. It was feeling like, hey, I'm happy. Lloyd's here.
Yeah.
So it was go sit in the park with Lloyd for 15 minutes and talk. And there's a connection.
Yeah.
There's community.
Yeah.
There's all those things I didn't have, and that helped me see that it's a good thing and helped me feel that it's a good thing. So, yeah, this place changes a lot quickly.
So thank you for that, Jay. So before I move on to the labyrinth, are there any last thoughts you want to kick out in regards to the partners group we just had and the follow-up?
Yeah.
Closing thoughts?
Survivors need to try and look at the point of view of the partner, because it's we don't.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because I mean, we're so stuck in our own thoughts that we don't always consider that. And when we do sometimes consider it, sometimes it's too late.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or has potential of being a disaster.
I think doing the partners groups has really, really makes me stop and look at how complex it is for a partner to live with a survivor. Because it's not an easy walk.
No, I couldn't imagine it would be. I mean, I know what I'm like.
Yeah.
And I think of some of the stuff that I've done in the past where I've been in a relationship and I walk away.
Yeah.
And with perfectly good relationship. And it all fell down to, it all came back to, I didn't think I was worthy of it.
Yeah.
I thought they could do better than me.
Yeah.
You know, now I realize that I was wrong in doing that in many different ways. Never mind just walking away and give them a sense of abandonment, no different than what I felt as a child. I mean, see, a lot of ways of looking at this, right?
Yeah.
And it's not just one-sided. And realizing, oh, man, what a mistake I made. And, you know, I all I know is it's a huge mistake on my part for some of the things I've walked away from. Friendships, too, right? And all because of my bad thoughts, which were totally, totally wrong. But I can't dwell on that too much now, and I have to concentrate on the future and for what the future has in store. And what I really love about the partners groups is I'm learning as well. I may be single, but I'm learning insights from partners. To me, it's very, very crucial for me to move forward in order for me to have that relationship that I desire and wish to have someday. And to me, that's why I want to be part of this so much, because I'm learning from others.
Well, don't look at all of us partners like we're awesome and have everything figured out.
Well, I don't.
If only you could measure up, because that's one of the key things, I think, is the partners are bringing their own stuff to it and trying to be honest about how they feel at the same time as caring about their partner and not wanting to rock the boat or start walking on the eggshells. But at the same time, we have our own stuff. And what I saw on Saturday was how important boundaries are from both sides. But that means survivors claiming their boundaries and recognizing that when they are strong and healthy and able to speak for themselves and support themselves, that they're able to contribute and be supportive and caring and pick us up as partners when we're having a bad day too.
I'm glad you said that too, because like I say, I'm still learning though. I mean, I totally get what you're saying, whether there's both sides there, but at the same time, I'm learning from both ways. And I need to understand at a greater level, and this is what the partners group has given me. It's I'm hearing stuff which I wouldn't normally hear. And not that I'm hearing a lot of intimate stuff, but I'm just hearing just like the difficulties and the challenges of what I'm talking about. And to me, that's more important. And what I'm learning is from that. From both sides, from the non-survivor and the survivor side. So it helps me understand that when I get into this situation or come across this, I'm going to have at least a better idea or have the capacity to understand what's going on and not run, is my point.
You know, it's back in 2000, I was in a car wreck, and it was bad. And we spent a lot of years dealing with surgeries and, you know, financial issues just due to the fact that I couldn't work, and there was just a ton of it, and went through a lot of hell through it. And at the time, I told myself that I was protecting Carolyn by going through it all myself and not letting her in. And I was protecting her, and I was protecting her, and that's what I kept telling myself, and it was all false.
Listen, folks, this is very, very important.
Yeah, it was all false. All I was doing was shutting down and putting up a wall. And it was me who couldn't let anybody in to let them see that I had any weakness. I couldn't let her see that I was hurting. I couldn't let her see that I hurt physically, mentally, didn't know how to handle things. I couldn't let anybody see that chink in my armor. And all I had done was go into survival mode like I did when I was being abused as a kid. I shut down. I shut myself out, disconnected, dissociated, whatever you want to call it. To protect myself, and it was old habits. It was old safety mechanisms that were no longer needed, that were overgrown. So instead of letting her into the world and letting her help me, I went into that place from when I was an abused child, and the only one in the world back then that was helping me was me. So that's where I went. And after I started doing work with my therapist and coming through the gatehouse, and looking at the whole thing, and I wasn't doing it for her. I was doing it because I couldn't handle it. So instead of working through that together, we were on separate roads. And it's probably the only time in our life that really happened. And I regret it like crazy. And now that'll never be the case. But I look at partners and I look at the partners group and I see what's happening. And I see those survivors trying to do it on their own instead of letting their partners in to help. And if anything that I've seen in all the partners groups, it's getting both sides to see what it's like.
I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Trying to be on the same team.
Yeah.
Same team.
Yeah.
Same team. And the same team, like, people don't necessarily stay together, and not all relationships are happy and perfect. But if you're both
and sometimes
looking after each other, recognizing the best for both of you is what is needed.
Sometimes the best is not being together. Sometimes being kind to each other is saying that, you know, this has to end. But also
doing it from the same team is a lot healthier than fighting about it all the time.
And trying to help the survivors to step out of, like you said, to get out of their own head because they're so stuck in their own stuff. Getting them to see the partner's perspective in this, and that they are trying to help, because we do get stuck in old habits and old safety, you know, mechanisms that are kicked in from when we were 4, 5, 8, 10, 11, 12 years old, and this was going on and there was nobody in the world there helping. We had to do it all ourselves. Well, when you got a partner, you don't have to do it all yourself.
Thank you for that. Now, how about we move on to something more positive?
Awesome.
Let's talk about the Labyrinth Nawi, if I'm pronouncing the native way of saying it as well.
Perfect. It's going to open on Saturday from 2 to 6 at Samuel Smith Park.
So why don't you bring us through the process of what you had to go through to get this done?
Well,
Jay does miracles around here. Folks, you've only any idea what Jay has done around the house here.
So it started back when I took my facilitator training with Arthur.
Mm-hmm.
And Arthur brought up the fact that they were hoping someday to build a labyrinth. So I had no idea the power of Arthur.
Or how
Arthur suddenly makes his visions your issue, your project. So I had said to him, because I do work with a lot of landscape companies and a lot of landscape things, and we do landscape design at our company. So I said to Arthur, look, if you want the drawings, I'll come up with the blueprints for you. And then magically, it turned into my project. So all of a sudden, it went from, I'll give you some drawings, to, hey, Jay's building a labyrinth, which was pretty funny. So then we started on the road with the city and the permit process to get the labyrinth allowed in the park. And that took about a year, which is longer than I had expected. And I do a lot of permit work and a lot of, dealing with
logistics
and this is something I do for a living. So I still didn't expect it to take that long. The counselor had to give his blessing before the Parks Department would allow us to build it. And we had to get forestry involved. And then the counselor had to get us to go to a group of people who are involved in Samuel Smith Park to get their blessing. The problem is they only met twice a year. So the last meeting was in October, where we went and presented the Labyrinth project to them, where everybody but one group was very happy with it. And that led the counselor to give his blessing. So then finally Parks, Toronto Parks had said, you have everything in a row, please go ahead. So then we had to get utility locates and do all the things to make sure that we weren't going to dig into something that was buried underground. And we got that. And about a month ago, we started to install the labyrinth. We had some amazing people from Espanola Landscaping come in, Paulo and Pedro and his wife, Sandra came in. And they donated the day. They donated the equipment. They donated their labor. They were incredible. So they dug out about 60,000 pounds of soil, and they installed 60,000 pounds of crushed gravel and compacted it all. And we made what looked like a giant crop circle in the park. So it was awesome. It's 46 foot four across with an 8 foot center, and pathways are just over 2 feet. So they installed it all. And then a group of us from the gatehouse, Jenny, Lloyd, a bunch of us, Carolyn, spent 2 Saturdays in the park, and we used the black plastic edging that they use for interlock. And we used that to create all the pathways. So we started with a center point, and we used wire to measure out each circle. We had strings set up across each, north, south, east, and west to show us where all the start and stop points were and all the returns were. And it was fairly complicated to get it all installed. So there was about 6 of us that worked for 2 full Saturdays to get all the edging in. And at the same time, it was being time-lapse filmed by James.
Yeah, can't see that.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool. And he got it from day one. Like,
that's James Buffin, by the way, from Virtuous Pictures.
Yeah, James got it from right from before we even broke ground. So he and Jenny came out and filmed the empty space. And then they've done a time lapse of, the dig out. It was a huge pile of soil in the middle, and Maria and Jenny and I climbed Mount Maria, we called it.
I've never seen those pictures.
Yeah. So then so he's filmed all of that, and we got the edging in. Then the Home Depot people came in, and they donated a day with about 12 people or more, some in the garden, some painting in the house, and some helping with the labyrinth. So we dug out all of the garden beds that go between the walkways, installed all the soil, and got all that done. And then 700 plants showed up.
A lot of plants.
A lot of plants. So 700 plants, because there's a plant for every foot. There's about 700 feet of garden bed inside. So then we, over the next week, different groups came in and volunteered. Home Depot helped. Lloyd helped. A whole bunch of people came in. Maria's dad came in. We installed all the plant material in the garden, cleaned it up, installed all the finished gravel, like pea gravel, in all the walkways. And then Alan Medry from Urban Haven Landscapes came in, donated all the materials for the wooden arch. We dug out for the posts, put the two big cedar 6x6 posts in. He donated the wood for the top of it that is being carved and painted to say the Labyrinth Nawai'i. So that was installed in a day, which was great. Tomorrow the sign actually gets put up. Last Sunday we put all the finished gravel in, all the stepping stones from the Healing Garden to the Labyrinth. And this Saturday we're going to finally open it.
Yeah, that's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
Really exciting. Yeah. I know it was a long process, so
yep.
It'll be kind of nice to see it just done. And
well, it's nice to have it done, because then we can now start working on the basement after the water
yes.
in the house.
Yeah,
and we can actually, now we can get that built now, the Labyrinth Stone.
Yeah, from our famous flood we had.
Yeah, yeah.
And we can do some gardening at our own house.
Yes.
Instead of just at the gatehouse.
Just
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, my backyard's hurting.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. But yeah, once the Labyrinth's done, it'll be great, and Saturday it'll be open.
That's fantastic. You've done a yeah. fantastic job, Jay.
Well, thank you. It's,
and,
it's good.
It's certainly, your fruits of labor certainly have paid off, and I'm really excited for you on Saturday, and for everybody involved in getting this organized and put together.
Yeah, Jenny Monroe has done so much. So much.
Remarkable woman.
Yeah.
Remarkable woman.
She raised the funds for it. Without her, we wouldn't have it. And, you know, we came in a bit under budget, and she's said the rest of the money that was raised is going to the gatehouse, which is great. So we got the Labyrinth in, and we got some extra money to help operate the house. And she has just been a driving force. Her sister is going to cut the ribbon.
Yeah, I remember meeting her sister at the conference.
Yeah, so she's going to cut the ribbon on Saturday, and she's incredibly excited. She's flying in from Calgary.
Yeah,
for the event. So it's been amazing, and to make a new connection with Jenny Monroe.
Exactly.
To meet her, to get to know her, to work on the Labyrinth. She's been out there every day. I have her and her husband, and you know, we've been digging in the dirt and you know, pounding nails in and doing all kinds of things. And just the experience of doing this with her has been amazing, and the energy she has for the gatehouse and for childhood sexual abuse and for getting the word out and for helping is amazing.
Totally amazing.
It's just amazing.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I came here last Friday, and I do one on ones on Fridays.
Yeah.
So I come here, and after just before my one on one, I'm waiting for the person to show up, and she's just out there gardening away all by herself. It was you know, remember how hot it was last
yeah.
Friday? She's out there, dirty, didn't matter.
No.
Didn't matter. She was out there going right at it.
Last Sunday morning, 8 o'clock. She and her husband Dave showed up, and I showed up when we started getting the stepping stones in and doing all the finishing on the Labyrinth. And yeah, 8 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, she's out there and smiling and excited. And, you know, she just, she has a real passion for the work the gatehouse is doing.
So I'm curious, so have you ever done this before?
Because of what my wife does, we have been involved in Labyrinths. To a great extent, actually, just because they have a labyrinth on some canvas or something. That,
on canvas?
Yeah, on canvas, painted onto canvas, and they roll it out in their gym.
Oh, okay.
And so it's there when they need it, and they can roll it up and get it out of the way when they don't. So that has been involved. Labyrinth is something that, because, you know, my wife's family is you know, involved in the church in various ways. So the labyrinths have been around, or at least been in our conscious, you know, circles for quite a while.
Actually, they've been around for centuries.
Well, centuries, but
yeah.
But even for us, like they
yeah.
just in our own circles, no pun intended. They have been we've been involved with them. And Carolyn has talked about labyrinths a fair bit and what they do, and even just a couple of nights ago, They had the
on
the solstice.
Oh, summer solstice, yeah.
They had the labyrinth at the solstice, and they were walking the labyrinth on the solstice. So, but the construction of it is very similar to what we do for a lot of landscaping in this climate. So the construction of it's fairly simple, but you know the layout and the time it took to create the pathways, that was a lot of work to sit down and get that all right and accurate and everything the right widths and the right, you know, stop here, start here. So Carolyn had the AutoCAD printed map of the labyrinth and basically was the gatekeeper, and it was okay, you stop here and then you go here and then this ends here and then that starts there. So it was really cool to do.
Yeah, it sounded like it was fun. I really wish I had gotten involved. I'm overloaded with stuff.
Yeah.
I couldn't have taken that on even if I wanted to.
No.
I wouldn't have been much help other than you would have told me to go and sit in the corner.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
in the way.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, and it's funny because I'm quite handy with a shovel and that's kind of right up my speed. I probably would have got right into it. I know given the opportunity, if there's ever an opportunity like that again, I know I want to get to do it.
Yeah.
But right now in my hands, I've got too many things on my plate. So I'm kind of glad I kind of stepped away and at least I can come here on Saturday now and I can have a real appreciation for what all of you have done and all the hard work and time and effort you guys put into putting this together.
And even Saturday having the art exhibit there with it is just
Warrior art exhibit.
Yeah, I think that's amazing.
That's totally, totally amazing.
Yeah.
Which I've talked about a little bit about tonight and Lacey Ford from Full Circle Art.
Yeah.
And who am I forgetting here? Oh my gosh, I feel horrible. But anyway, she put that together.
Yeah.
And really, really excited about that. Actually, I'm supposed to help her.
Yeah. Yeah.
On Saturday.
Yeah.
Maria kind of segregated. Oh, you help here and you help there.
Yep.
But I'll help anyway, anywhere all around if needed be. But I'll be here pretty much half the day anyway.
Yeah. No, having them both there together at the same time, I think is just an amazing thing. And City Councilor Mark Grimes is going to.
Hope the mayor shows up.
No, the mayor canceled.
The mayor canceled.
But our councillor Mark Grimes for this area, he for our ward, he's going to be there. So Arthur and Jenny are going to talk from 2:00 to 2:15.
Yeah.
And then the councillor's going to get up and say a few words.
I hope he does.
Yeah. And then Andrea is going to cut the ribbon. And there's a native drum group that is going to be here. So they're
from
gonna,
the college.
Yeah, from the college. So they're going to. Do a little bit before we actually start and then kind of right after all the speeches are done and the labyrinth is open, so they're going to do some more drumming and it's just going to be an incredible afternoon.
And there will be a barbecue here as well, and I know any money raised from that is going back to the house for what I've been told. And a lot of people don't realize that if you haven't been to the gatehouse or if you go to the gatehouse website and there is pictures of a healing garden.
Yep.
And basically the labyrinth is an extension of the healing garden.
It is.
And I know the community really enjoys it, and I keep hearing this throughout Etobicoke from people that come down here, and I know people would never come down here because in the back here, even a few years ago, all you'd find people in the back were needle users, drug users, and drunks. All that's all gone now. So basically people come to the park now and to the garden, and you can sit there and have your cup of tea or whatever you're having and just chill out, and I often see lots of people here. I know the community appreciates, is my point.
Yeah.
They it looks good. People come by, and people are using it all the time.
Yeah.
We talked to a lot of people as we were building it who came by and wanted to see, and little kids who wanted to hopscotch over the pathways.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
A lot of people sounded really interested, and a few people even knew what a labyrinth was.
Was.
And were really, really excited that it was coming to their community.
Yeah, because there's none in the neighborhood, none at all.
Even Sunday morning, we were here finishing things off, and the Horticultural Society was on a tour of community gardens, and they pulled up in a bus, and about 30 people got off the bus, and they toured the community garden here Sunday morning.
That's exciting, very, very exciting.
And, yeah, and they were all around the labyrinth checking it out, because we were finishing it off, and it was basically built at that point. We were just literally cleaning things and clipping plants and putting some gravel in. So 30 people from the community got to see the labyrinth Sunday morning and walk around our community garden. And then right after, Maria gave them a tour of the gatehouse, so they got to see the garden, they got to see the labyrinth, but they also got to see what we do and spread that word.
Were you
a bit
expecting
more. Maria was. We weren't. So it was a bit of a surprise, but at the same time, it was all
nice distraction, right?
It was, and it was 30 more people who got to see what the gatehouse does and to spread the word of what we're doing.
The only spot I ever seen a labyrinth was at the Experimental Farms in Ottawa.
Okay, there's one at the Eaton Center.
There's one at the Eaton Center,
yep.
too. That's right, I forgot
yep.
about that one, too, as well.
Yep.
But that was the only time, the first time I've ever seen a labyrinth was the one at the Experimental Farms in Ottawa.
Yeah.
Actually, they had more than one. They had a couple of different ones.
Yeah. Apparently, walking the labyrinth also helps to balance the left and right side of your brain.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the physical, mental, it's there's a whole bunch going on. There's having to concentrate on the walkway at the same time you're dealing with whatever's coming up in your head. And it's so it does help balance both sides of your brain, which is great.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate you, Caroline and Jay, coming in here tonight and talking not only about the partners. That was an unexpected surprise. Thank you so much,
very
Caroline,
much.
For coming in. And maybe we could do this sometime again if you're very comfortable. Maybe
yeah.
a ball or something
yeah.
like that. There's an awful lot going on, and there's so much to talk about.
Yeah.
And it's kind of great. I mean, we talk about connection and community. Well, this is a great example of connection and community, what
yeah.
we're doing right here, right now. And I really love these moments. Like, I just had two students in from York University, and they're doing wondrous things. I mean, well, you know Peter, right?
Yeah.
Peter Dawson,
yeah.
Professor Peter Dawson, that is. So they're, the course that they're doing are social interaction.
Yep.
And they've incorporated childhood sexual abuse into that. They've also incorporated hunger into that. Like the class that Peter has are split in two groups. One group is has a project on childhood sexual abuse, and the other half is on food banks.
Yep.
So those are two very key important things in the community, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, none outweighing the other, but both very equally important
yep.
things in the community. And it all falls back to what I to my comment about making connection and community. And
yep.
at the end of the day, it's about community, because if we don't have that connection and we don't have community, and there's a whole bunch of things that sort of fall into this beautiful bouquet of flowers, if I can put it in,
yeah.
in that perspective.
Yeah.
And it's like what you've done in the back here, Jay. I mean, this will be around here forever, long before after we're gone.
Yep.
I know they'll be out there enjoying that, right? I mean, I hope I'm out there. Hopefully not in a wheelchair, but I'm hoping out there when I'm old and wobbly and we'll
hold each other up.
Hold each other up and to be able to enjoy that. So anyway, folks, thank you very much for joining here on Personal Transformation Blog Talk Radio, broadcasting live here from the Lakeshore at 3101 Lakeshore Boulevard, Western Toronto, or Old Etobicoke, as I like to say. Broadcasting live from the gatehouse, and now that Jay's done with the labyrinth, we'll let him go home after he's done the basement now.
Thanks, Stuart.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too.
And we'll talk to you later.
Take
I'm
care.
Signing off now too anyway, so.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Bye. Thanks.
Bye. Anyway, folks, that's my show tonight. Thank you for joining in, and I'll be back next week. I didn't talk about anything too challenging, I don't think, tonight, so. Hopefully you're all doing well out there. Primarily, I want you to take care of yourselves. Self-care, that's what it's all about. And have a great week. Now, next week, what have we got coming up next week? I know we have a lot of stuff that's coming up. So basically, I'll just kind of plug it in there as I'm going along. I have a guest I want to get on here. I won't say what it is or who it is until I know for sure. But I'm going to try to have another guest here next week. So I'll once I confirm that, obviously, I'll let you know. And obviously, you'll hear as well. So anyway, folks, most importantly, take care of yourselves. Have a great week. Thank you for your time and have a good night. Bye for now.